This morning for my sermon, I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11. And the title that I've given my sermon is a very simple one, simply, the faith chapter. And that's what Hebrews 11 is. It's the faith chapter. I have read in your hearing earlier the first six verses of that chapter. And the verse, I suppose, that would be more of a verse which we will focus our thoughts and attention on today will be found in the sixth verse. And that's page number 1692 in the New Testament in the Pew Bibles, Hebrews 11, verse number 6. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Pray God will bless the reading and hearing of His Word and the preaching of it for the glory of God and Christ our Savior. And if you would, please join with me again in a moment of further prayer. Dear Father in heaven, it is our happy privilege to come once more to the throne of grace. You've assured us in your word that you're not weary with our continual coming to you. We do come a lot. Sometimes it's little things, sometimes things that we deem to be big things, important things. Pretty well always there are things that we can't really do a lot about. But you can. You have all power in heaven and earth. And so we come, Lord, to you at times like this when we need you so much. And we cast all our burdens and cares upon you as one who truly does care for us. Father, we pray for all those on our prayer list, and for your children everywhere, for our family circles and loved ones and friends, and, O Lord, for all the body of this church, and your people in all of your churches, wherever they might be, Lord, they're calling upon you for their own needs. And for them we pray and ask you to have mercy on them as well. Lord, as we've opened your word, read, we'll try to talk about it a little, and hopefully by your Holy Spirit you'll shed some light on it. We'll be able to see and understand with our hearts and minds. Grant it all for your glory, Lord, but also for the blessing of your people. We need to understand your word to know how to live by it. And it's when we understand it that we find so much comfort in it. So Lord, help us today. There's no power in my words. I could speak them till my voice went away. There's no power in them, but the power is in your word. And I've discovered that a long time ago, and I've known it, Lord, all through the years, that when your word is read and when your word is spoken, your Holy Spirit is able to take it and apply it to the hearts and minds of your born-again children. Lord, will you do that for us today? Bless your word to our hearts, to our understanding, that it might affect our lives, make us better men and women, boys and girls. Just help us, Lord, to live it day by day. Not about what we know, more about what we do, how we live, to try to please you. So, Lord, give us grace to do that every day that we live. Help us to want to do it more and better as life moves on. And, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for you're a God of mercy. And we ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. As I begin my sermon this morning, I want to remind you that there are three great subject chapters in the Bible. I think you already know that, most of you, if not all of you, but the shorter one, and the first one, is in 1 Corinthians 13, And that's the great love chapter of the Bible. It uses the word charity, but it means love that is in action or love that is manifest. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's the great resurrection chapter of the Bible. From beginning to ending, it either talks about the resurrection of Jesus or about our coming resurrection. And it's a great chapter of the Bible. But the third one, of course, is Hebrews chapter 11, and it's the great faith chapter of the Bible. And it helps us to understand faith a little bit better. And I hope we'll be able to accomplish that today as we look in the pages of the Bible and to this 11th chapter of Hebrews, the great faith chapter of the Bible, and ponder some of the verses that we're going to look at this morning. I want you to remember that this is about faith, but just prior to this chapter, in the 38th verse of the 10th chapter, says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." So even before we get to the 11th chapter of the chapter of faith, there is a mention of faith that the just shall live by faith. The interesting thing about that is that it is found in three other places, total four places in the Bible. The first is in the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4 says, "The just shall live by faith." And of course we have in the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 17 reminds us again. And then in the book of Galatians, chapter 3 and verse 11, we're reminded again, the just shall live by faith. And then we come to this fourth and final time that statement is found in the Bible. The just shall live by faith. Well, how are we going to live by faith? We need to understand faith a little better. We need to know a little more about faith. And so then God brings to us, almost immediately behind that statement, this 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. 40 verses in it. And it is predominantly, from beginning to end, a chapter about faith. Now, I want us to begin this chapter by first looking at some things that are said in the introductory remarks of this chapter. It says, "Now faith is..." Now notice those two words, "now" and "is." Now. Not yesterday or last week or last year or a lifetime ago, but now. Now faith is. Faith is. It's present tense. It's not something we look at in an archaeological way to say, well, that happened or that existed a long time ago, and there are little remnants that we can find, little debris that can suggest this is what it looked like. No, this tells us faith still exists. Now, this day, this moment, this hour, this place, faith is. What is it? It is the substance. Faith is a substance. Now, let me clarify that. It's not like the substance of this pulpit that I reach out and touch my fingers upon, or this Bible that I'm touching with my hand and holding as I try to preach from it. It's not that way. But it is substance. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, you know, the greatest thing that is not seen is God. It's the evidence of things not seen. Well, there are angels we don't see. There are also, on the other side of that coin, there are devils and demons that we do not see. There are a lot of things in this world we can't see. We can't see the air around us. We can't see our breath coming in and out of our bodies and supplying the oxygen we need to live. There are a lot of things invisible, but the greatest invisible of all invisibles, brothers and sisters, is God. And faith is the substance. You got to hope for something. You're hoping for a blessing. You've been praying for it a while. You're waiting on God to get it. You're hoping it will soon come. Well, faith is the substance of that hope. It is faith in your heart that gives that hope substance and reality. And it is the evidence of the unseen. And God above all else is believed by faith to exist. The evidence of the unseen. Now, it also does this in the second verse. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Now, notice it says, for by it, by faith. Now, it's going to be one of the focal expressions that I'm going to deal with this morning. But it says, for by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. They had faith in God. They had faith to believe His Word. They had faith to act upon it. To believe God would help them and bless them. And so they were able to accomplish some things, some good things. And had a good report to come because by faith they did it. And then verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God did create the world, yes. Faith enables us. Through faith, we understand that. Now, you won't have to look very far to find anybody to laugh at you about that. Even if they're kind enough not to laugh at you, they'll think, boy, they don't know and understand, do they? No, really, they're the ones who don't know and understand. Because if they don't have faith, they don't believe in God. And if they don't believe in God, they can't believe in a divine creation. That starts with the belief in God. So through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That is, you look out in the world, you look in this building, all of these things, you see the trees, you see the grass, you see all the things that are out there in the world. There are things that were made that are visible and seen by the eye, but they were made by God who is unseen. And yet to have faith in the heart is to believe in God who created the heaven and the earth, that He made it. And we rejoice in that knowledge of sovereign God. Now we get to the expression by faith. This expression is only found 21 times in the New Testament. The word faith is found 247 times in the Bible, but by faith is found only 31 times in all of the New Testament. But the interesting thing I discovered was that 15 of those are right here in this time. So I believe it. Did I say 31 or 21? It's 21. There are 21 times in the New Testament. 15 of those are in this 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. So we begin that journey now to look at those. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Well, who was Cain? Cain was his brother. They were the first two children born to Adam and Eve. They lived a long, long time ago. But by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. In other words, God was pleased with his gift and not Cain's gift. God testifying of his, Abel's gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now, I want you to think about this. Cain and Abel were the first two children that were born to populate the earth from Adam and Eve. After they sinned, were driven out of the garden. The Bible tells us that Cain was one who tended the land.
He planted crops. But Abel was a shepherd. He was a man who kept sheep, animals, tended to animals. They were quite different in their vocations. Cain offered to God a sacrifice. Abel offered a sacrifice, and Cain offered a sacrifice. But God was pleased with Abel's and not with Cain's. Now, some folks who want to judge God in that matter say, well, now, wasn't that a little unfair of God, though? Not at all. You know why? Because God knew the heart. You and I don't, but God did. And God knew the heart of Abel. And God knew that Abel had faith in him. And that Cain did not have faith in God. You will not find anywhere in all the Bible. If you can find it, please, I beg of you, show me where you found it. I haven't found any place that said Cain had faith. But Abel did. And when he gave his offering by faith in God to God, it was pleasing to God. And God accepted his offering. God was not pleased with Cain's offering. If you go back to the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis this week and read it, Cain rose up because he was jealous and angry with his brother whose gift had been accepted by God. Now, I might add this. Cain brought of some of the plants or the fruit of the byproduct of the plants. I don't know exactly what, but something of that nature. Abel, apparently, from all I can figure out, took an animal, killed it, took its life, shed its blood. Does that turn a light on it there? Ring a bell? Prefiguring, looking forward for thousands and thousands of years, pointing forward to the Lamb of God, whom I preached on last Sunday. Pointing to Jesus, the Lamb of God, who would die for our sins and the sins of all God's elect, and would shed his blood. And that first sacrifice was a representation of what was to come. Yes, God accepted that gift. And Cain, in jealousy and displeasure with his brother, not with his sacrifice, but with his brother, rose up and slew Abel. You know, it's hard for me to imagine. I'll be honest with you. There wasn't but two boys on this earth at that time. Two brothers growing up. Little boys playing, I'm sure, climbing in the trees and having a good time chasing each other. But when they became men, one of those brothers would rise up and murder his brother that he had played with and shared life with all those years of growing up. I can't imagine it, but he did. Abel's offering was acceptable because it was given by faith. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Verse 5 says again, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. That is, he never died. I believe he and Elijah were the only two that went to heaven without dying that I can remember. But Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, and this is God's testimony, that he pleased God. He pleased God. We're told in the fifth chapter of Genesis, verse 24, I believe it is, that Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him. Now, you think about it, and I like to think about it this way, and I wasn't there, I don't know, but this is the way I like to think about it. Enoch loved God and just loved to walk and commune with God, and it's kind of like God was his best friend. He just wanted to be with him. And putting it in our human terms and language, one day the Lord said, Cain, Enoch, why don't you just come on home with me? And he didn't have to die to do it. See, we'll die in our life only to go home to be with the Lord, but he didn't have to die. Elijah was just caught up in a whirlwind, taken up into heaven. But Enoch was translated. He was changed from off the earth into heaven with God. By faith, Enoch was translated. Why? Because he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, I don't know exactly what he did to please God, but he pleased God. And so, verse 6, which is really kind of the heart of it all, says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, we believe in God. We believe that God exists. We believe that God is real, that God is, and that God is a rewarder, one who can bless your life and mine and bestow upon us many wonderful, gracious favors. But it takes faith to be able to do that, brothers and sisters. Without faith, you'll never care about God. Without faith, you'll never want to please God. Without faith, you won't believe His Word to be true. Without faith, you can't please God. It's impossible. So, we have faith. And by faith, we can please God. Now, let's take this journey a little further. Look at verse number 7. By faith, Noah. Who was Noah? He was the great man who built the ark. The animals all came in. He and his wife and their sons and their wives all were carried into the ark. And he floated upon the flood waters. And the whole earth was flooded. I am of the opinion that a lot of things that we find today as relics of the distant past just were under the high pressure of all that water. It very tight, compacted, and made a lot of changes in it. That's my opinion about it. But Noah was the man of the flood. The whole earth was flooded and all covered and everything on it for that. But Noah and his family died. By faith, Noah had to use his faith. He was warned by God of things not seen as yet. If I understand it, very likely, at least I don't find any evidence, that there was a rain before the flood. The flood rains came. The earth was, in early times, watered with a mist. So, if I understand correctly, they didn't have big showers of rain like we do. So, he was warned of things that's not seen as yet. There's going to be a flood. What's a flood? Never seen one, never heard of one. Well, it's when the waters rain down out of the heavens and come up out of the deep, and the whole earth is covered. That's what a flood is. Never seen one, never heard of one. He was warned of things that had never at that point happened. And yet he moved with fear, preparing an ark. God told him how long it was to be, how wide it was to be, how high it was to be. It was to have one door in the side and one window in the top. And God told him exactly how to make it. And he made it. And two of all the animals, God. Folks say, well, how in the world did he get out and collect all those animals getting out of it? Brothers and sisters, Noah didn't have to collect them. God sent them to the ark two by two. How do I know that? By faith. I'll be honest, by faith. And that's how Noah knew it was coming. By faith. He prepared an ark for the saving of his house by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham. That's a good familiar man. Everybody thinks about Abraham, I guess. By faith, Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. God told Abraham when he was in the Ur of the Chaldees with his family living in a pagan area, God said, I want you to leave your family, and I want you to go out into a place that I'm going to show you. And God led him to the promised land where it would be. And God said, that'll be yours. And he obeyed. He left his family. He did carry his nephew, Lot. But the rest of the family was all left behind. And he went out, journeying into this place. Well, Abraham, where are you going? I don't know. God said he's going to show me a place. Well, who's God? He's the God I know and worship and love and serve, who has blessed me and been good to me. You see, that's the difference in a believer and an unbeliever. He went out, he obeyed, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. So, the lineage of God was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You read it again and again in the Old Testament. Here it is. By faith, Abraham. And then Isaac and Jacob. And so the Jewish nation came forth. It doesn't say by faith, but it says through faith also. Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore there sprang even of one, and him as good as dead, that's Abraham, as many as the stars of the sky and multitude, and the sand which is by the seashore innumerable, that came from Abraham and Sarah, and through Isaac and Jacob, and that lineage. Let's skip on down to another by faith, 17th verse. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. You remember that? God said, Abraham, you take that son of promise. He finally came about 20 years after the promise was made. Most of us would have gotten tired of waiting by then, but God has his own schedule, folks. He does things in his own time. Prayers are answered when God wants to answer the prayer. And it was with him. And so the boy came. He loved him. Mightily he loved him. And he didn't want to take his life, but God said, I want you to take him out yonder to a mountain and offer him. He carried him as he was told to do. He carried him out to that place to sacrifice him. So he offered up Isaac. In his heart and his mind, he did it. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. But God gave a goat, a ram rather, caught in the thicket, to take the place of Isaac, and spared his life. Now, having said that, let me skip on to verse number 20. Another by faith. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Isaac, the father of Jacob and Esau. Verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. We're following a lineage now. Verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were afraid of the king's commandment, which all boy children were to be killed. And they hid him in the bulrushes of the river. And then by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's not over. Let's skip on down to verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, when the Egyptians, saying to do, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they
were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. That is her own people who were pagan worshipers. But she believed in the God of the Jews. And God spared her life. And when she had received the spies with peace. And there were others that are mentioned. But all of those, the Bible says, by faith, those people enjoyed a blessing. I want to close my sermon this morning with a few remarks about faith and how it comes to us. You ever thought about it? Some people have it, some don't. Well, how do we get faith? Well, God has to give it to us. He gives it to us through the work of the Holy Spirit, as I understand the Bible to teach. The Bible tells us, in Romans 5:1, I believe it is, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, God's inspired Word is an element of our faith. It's something that, if we have faith, we can believe it. And if we don't have faith, we're not likely to believe it. But we're also told we're to live our faith. Remember, I read that up in the 10th chapter, 38th verse. And we also walk by faith. Well, how can we do that? Because it is by the Holy Spirit that we have faith, comes to us. Why would I say that? Because of this scripture, Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's Galatians 5:22 and 23. So, the Holy Spirit living in us and working within us produces faith. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And you can't get apples off pecan trees. You need an apple tree to bear apples. Orange tree to bear oranges. And so if you're going to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you need the Holy Spirit to produce it. And one other verse. And that is in Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith. There it is, through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now some people want to debate, well, which one is it talking about? By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. In reality, both of them are gifts from God. Grace is God's gift. He said, my grace is sufficient. It's God's grace. That's a gift from God. Faith is a gift from God. Now, why do I want you to ponder that? Because when you see all these tremendous blessings that have come in the lives of poor mortals that's lived and walked on this earth, because they used their faith and trusted in God and believed God and believed His Word and obeyed Him and lived for Him and pleased Him. Oh, no, not all the time. None of us do. We're sinners right on. But they pleased God with their faith. The faith God put in them, they used to live their lives, just like we use it today. I couldn't believe in God as Creator if I didn't have faith. I couldn't believe that God inspired the Bible if I didn't have faith, but the Bible says that, and I believe because God said it. I couldn't believe God would hear and answer prayers, but God's done it. He's proven that He can. But I prayed because there was faith that said God can do it. I just ponder this in closing. What good is all the time in the world if you can't use it? What good is all the time in the world if you can't use it? If you had the rest of your life and you could live for 10 years lying in a bed in a coma, what good would that do you? Some people do have to live that way for periods. It's hard for us to understand. But my point is, time that cannot be used,
doesn't really bless us that much. It's time we can be with loved ones. It's times we can be with family, with children, grandchildren. It's time we can be with friends and church folks. It's time when we can work and have a living and keep our homes and our lives. It's time that is used that is a blessing, not time that's just there. What about money? More money than you ever spend somewhere in a bank. You don't ever spend a penny of it. What good will it do you? How much enjoyment will you have of it? Money is something that, yeah, we want to be wise stewards of it. We want to, not spend our last dime or dollar every day. We want to realize that tomorrow's another day and we might need some of it then. But money spent, it's usually the spent money that's the blessing to us, not the money that's in the bank account. All right, now let's bring it one step further. Faith. What good is faith that we don't do anything with? If we don't ever trust in God, if we don't ever say a prayer, ask a blessing for us or someone else, if we don't ever use our faith, what good is it to us? It isn't. It's no more good than time, just to have time, and money, just to have money. To have faith, just to have faith would be meaningless. But it's when we, like these people, exercise and use our faith, then by faith we accomplish this, and by faith we accomplish that. And little by little and one by one, we do those things that we read in the Bible. God says, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I want you to live this way, not that way. And when we take the Word of God to heart and by faith say, if that's what God wants me to do, then I'm going to try to do it. Well, I know I'll probably miss the mark a little ways, but I'm going to give it my best. Because I want to honor God. I want to obey God. I want to live for Him. I want to please God. Without faith, you can't do it. Did you know whatsoever is not of faith is sin? That's right. I think that's Romans 14:23. But faith that is exercised is like a muscle. It grows stronger. If I tied my left arm to my body, and I got a little 5-pound or 10-pound weight in my right arm, and all day long where I'm moving around, I'm exercising that arm. How much difference you reckon there'd be in the size of my arms in a year's time? This would probably be useless to me. Probably be withered away. The one that's been exercised would be stronger. Did you get the point? When we exercise our faith in God, and God blesses us, our faith is made stronger. And we learn that by His grace and by faith, we can please Him and try to live our lives in a way that honors and glorifies Him. And I hope the Lord will help us today in this great faith chapter of the Bible. There's a lot I didn't get to cover. It's more than one sermon time, but think about it. Read it again. Ponder it. May God bless us all to use it. We may live lives that will please God as He looks down upon us each day. Would you join with me in prayer, Father? Take Your Word. Sanctify it to our hearts. Help us to know it is true. Give us strength to use it. And by grace, to please You for Your glory, not ours. In Jesus' holy name we ask it.